Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're tuned into the best damn Husker and NFL coverage on the radio.
We don't fly at 40,000 feet. We're not big picture group. They have work to do today.
You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
And if they focus on anything other than that, it's going to be a problem.
This is the Greggeth and Hooks Show.
That's like a prerequisite to being at this level.
Like we always do with this time. I go for mine. I get to shine. Now throw your hands up.
Welcome back into Greggeth and Hooks. If you're just hearing us now because you're on the stream, I'm hoping you hear us now. I apologize that it wasn't working. I literally rolled off 34 reasons why Nebraska and Nebraska fans are better than Creighton. They're better than
fire.
The Blue Jays. We're going to replay it at 10 at the request of Dr. Dane Todd.
It's appropriate. We should play it.
There's some really good reasons in there, too. I think I was, 34 of 34 were correct.
Every one of them was spot on. No
and doubt. Then there was also accusations that Willie J might be dressed as a Creighton fan today.
I think we should take a picture with the hood up and let the public vote.
Let the public. He's not wearing the glasses that he doesn't need, but he wears so he looks studious. That's what Creighton does. So you're off on. But he does drive a Lexus his parents bought for him. And that's a big-time Creighton fan move. And he's wearing a hoodie vest thing, and he's wearing blue, black, and white today. Wait, do you have a pair of fake glasses, or do you?
No, these are real.
Are those your bifocals?
I can't see something.
No. Hold on, Hooks. Are those your bifocals?
No. They're not bad. They're just.
No. Are those bifocals?
They're not bifocals. No. They're prescription, but I have to read a little bit. You went really.
That's what bifocals are for.
No.
They're reading glasses.
They're reading glasses. Let's call them what they are.
Wow. Did you get that the day you turned 40?
Oh, I've had those a couple years.
Wow.
A couple years.
It's always looking over your bank account.
So we're going to put this up. So we're going to give these to Willie J and we'll make him look the part.
All right. Let's bring on Brian Christopherson, 247sports.com. Hey, BC, Creighton fans and Creighton stinks, right? That's kind of where we're at today. Is that that's the word on the street?
What now?
Like nobody likes Creighton, right?
Just
like
they hate him. Hate him.
It's a go Big Red, Creighton, Ugg McErmitt's dad. You know that kind
cheaters.
Of stuff.
The cheaters.
Well, yeah. You know, most people in my family are not Creighton fans, but I'm from Omaha, and so I do have the background of I used to grow up going to Creighton games, but it wasn't a big deal back then. It was at the Civic Auditorium. This was back when they had like. Bob Harstad and Duane Cole and Chad Gallagher, and they used to play games on Fox 42. And if you got your antenna just right, you could pick it up. And as a little sports nut, I mean, I kind of enjoyed watching them as a little underdog. But it was when I got to college about 15 years ago or so where this thing took on a different dimension of just dislike for the each side, and you kind of had to pick one or the other, and it's been kind of fascinating to me how that's evolved.
Yeah, so you became a Husker fan. That's what he was getting at.
Yeah, he was around that way. He's just going to tell us.
He was saying, and you know what he is? You should write a book. There are two people in this world that I think are fascinating that I need to read a book about because I think it's a fascinating journey. People who as a child were tricked into being Creighton fans and then saw the light and became Husker fans, and dudes that somehow found their way out of the friend zone with a chick. Those are the two people that I think have journeys that not many of us can figure out how you got there. And I think I need to read a book about that.
Are they in the same book, those two things? Or
maybe,
is that,
I don't know.
Could be a couple pages.
You and I now, two consecutive weeks, have come up with books that we want to write. I think we're going to do some business here, I think.
We're going to have to kind of hone in on something because I feel like we're getting off track on a lot of different topics. So,
man,
we got to really figure out a focus for this book because they could. We don't want it to venture like 100 different ways.
That's true. That'd be just like what a typical segment on my sports show.
Yes,
that's what. That's how we.
BC,
do that.
You feel my pain.
All right, BC, there's a lot of places to start, and I want to start with Husker football. We'll talk a little basketball before we get out of here, but Husker football, and I'm not a – I know you guys do a great job with recruiting at 247sports.com. I'm not like a – I get goo-goo gaga over individual players besides Adrian Martinez. He had me at hello. Otherwise, I kind of am like about the class and about, you know, hey, we're ranked high. That's good. We'll see which one of these poker chips turns into – a winner here because we never really know. But I thought it was super impressive that Coach Frost and company had a player that they wanted. They knew they wanted from jump. He ended up going and saying yes to Kentucky, and they still pursued him and were able to get the target that was the target they wanted this offseason. So to me, that's super impressive. How did that kind of ring for you?
Yeah. First off, Wendell Robinson – high school resume is as good as any you are going to find. I mean, there are people who have watched Rondale Moore and Wendell Robinson play over the last 5 years in that area because Rondale Moore was from the Kentucky area. And they're very comparable. I've heard some people I really trust say that. Now, one guy has proven it for a year in college, another guy has to do that. But from the outset, that gives you an idea of the type of player Nebraska is going after and why you keep pushing even when you get no that first time. And the first time they heard no was a surprise. It really was. In kind of communicating with people over there, leading up to it that week, there was a real confidence that Robinson was going to pick Nebraska. And then in like the 12 to 18 hours prior to when he was going to announce, it kind of shifted suddenly. And I know there's all sorts of stuff out there. I don't want to get into that. I don't know what all happens behind the scenes. What I do know is this is a guy who is living in Kentucky. Everybody around him saying, you're going to go to the home state school, right? Of course you're going to Kentucky. You're going to do this, right? And I just think he was getting pulled on by so many people that he momentarily got away from what he really wanted to do and the connection that he really felt with this staff. And that ultimately won out, or it appears that it won out. Now, there's still 2 weeks till early signing day, and in recruiting, 2 weeks can feel like 2 years sometimes, especially when you're talking about a player like this. And as I've heard from people connected to it, you know, Kentucky is not going to go quietly into the night here, just like Nebraska didn't. So you got to hang on a little bit. But this is a major score because I always, when I think about Scott Frost's offense, I always think back to his time at Oregon. And when you watch the Ducks play when they're really good, they would have all these skilled weapons stacked on top of each other where, yeah, they would have like a guy like Royce Freeman or some headline player you recognize. But there would also be these guys who would pop up scoring these touchdowns who were just these speedsters who you didn't even sometimes know their names. They would just come out of nowhere, and they came at you in waves. And I feel like you're seeing that blueprint in Frost's first two recruiting classes here where he's really stacking up athletes and just going to hopefully – you know, hit defenses with waves of guys where you don't even know where it's coming from sometimes. And certainly a Wendell Robinson, and you add him to Maurice Washington and Ramir Johnson and some of these guys they're recruiting, at least on paper, it all looks pretty good.
Hey, BC, on the recruiting side, the Huskers hosted their homegrown Husker event. Talk a bit about those events and what they mean recruiting, and do they mean more now with a guy like Scott Frost at the helm?
Well, I think all the walk-ons in the state believe that Scott Frost believes in the walk-on program more than maybe previous staffs here did. And I don't think Mike Riley's staff ignored the walk-on program by any means. But Scott Frost knows how to speak about it and really articulate what it means to the state very well because he grew up here. And so I think a lot of kids hear his message and are like, yeah, I got to try to see what happens with this guy. I think a big part of it right now is there's just such an excitement about what Frost might do here that there's some local kids who in the past maybe they'd say, you know what, I'm going to take this scholarship offer to South Dakota State. That's mm-hmm. a lot of money on the table. And now they're thinking, you know, that's a good deal, but I couldn't live with myself if this guy gets this thing flying and they're a top team and I can't be a part of it. So I think that kind of eagerness to see, kind of peek behind the curtain, see what this is all about, is probably getting a few more guys that would be going to FCS schools. Like, Caden McCormick, the kid from yep. Southwest who committed yesterday, he had 150 tackles last season. He's a really good player, and he could be a really good player in the FCS, but he's going to take his chances and chase a dream. And would he have done that with a previous staff? I don't know. He might have. He's a Lincoln kid, but I think it becomes a lot easier for guys right now just with kind of the enthusiasm that surrounds Nebraska football, which is why, you know, they can raise ticket prices even though they went 4-8 last year.
Oh, you just struck a chord with Hooks.
No.
He just struck a chord.
I think it's interesting, but they haven't taken one in a long time either.
They haven't what?
What's that?
A ticket increase. Well, how long has it been?
Yeah, it's been a 4 year.
4 years.
They were 56 a ticket in 2011. They moved to 57 in 2015, and now they're 60. I think some of it's the Frost enthusiasm. You know, they had a 96% yep. ticket renewal rate. And then the other part is you got Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern coming to town, so you know you can charge it.
Yep. All those teams except Iowa, super excited to see him here.
We don't issue them tickets.
No,
do we
went 4-7.
They
don't know
what
that.
They don't know what
it. Nebraska went 4-7 last year. I don't call it 4-8. I won't acknowledge that win by Iowa. Because Kirk Ferentz got to 8 wins. That's an outstanding
monumental
for
them.
I know he's a 7-5.
$500,000.
Jeez.
That's going to be a tough game every year, though, Nick. That's going to be one of those games where even if Nebraska really gets it rolling,
yeah,
it's always going to be a brawl. It's just going to be one of those games where you kind of got to – kind of like Colorado was some years, or even when Nebraska surpassed them and had the clear advantage, you always knew it was kind of going to be a dogfight. I think Iowa's going to be similar.
Yeah, probably. The refs always feel bad for them and help them out, too, so that doesn't help. Hey, there was something on Twitter yesterday, and I'll be honest with you. I don't know who this individual is that tweeted this out, but it had some legs to it about the Big Ten looking towards Oklahoma and Texas in about 2025, roughly, to join the conference. Now, to be super clear, about 5 years ago, we talked about this on the show, and actually you and I talked about it. I know you probably don't remember because you do a million interviews, and it's been a long time since then. But at that time, you and I talked about Texas and Oklahoma coming to the Big Ten and how it makes sense. But Husker fans seem to hate Texas so much, they don't care about the money that absorbing the Longhorn Network would bring for the Big Ten Network. What do you think about those prospects if Texas and Oklahoma became the next two members of the Big Ten?
Well, I can see why Nebraska fans would be a little queasy about it because they feel like Texas is always going to try to weasel their way into the kind of being the person mm-hmm. in charge of the decisions. That said, I don't know that Jim Delaney's going to be in the boss's chair that much longer. It seems like he's ready to move on pretty soon. But whoever it is, I mean, come on. I mean, if you get a chance to add Texas and Oklahoma and make that this kind of power league, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. It would be a cool division. I mean, let's say they would probably move if you just did it geographically or something, and you wanted to just move Purdue over to the other division. I mean, think about it. You suddenly have Texas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota. That's kind of an interesting.
That's fun right there.
Little side. I mean, as a college football fan, how can you not like that? And I think if Nebraska fans felt comfortable that Texas couldn't kind of assert their power the way they did in the Big 12, they would grow to maybe like it because, you know, especially if Nebraska found it again, they love going against Texas, and those, I mean, those would be some memorable games. So I think people could adjust to it and like it. You know the Big Ten offenses aren't going to move down to Dallas, and you're not going to have some of the stuff that happened in the Big 12. I just don't think Texas could grab power of this league the way they did down there, and that might be one reason to keep them from here. But money talks, and if the money is what some people think it could be, I don't know how they'd say no.
Well, and that's, you know, you kind of answered my follow-up to you a little bit here, but I know Nebraska fans are worried because they hate Texas because, like you said, Texas basically strong-armed, you know, the Big 12. One of the reasons Nebraska got the heck out of Dodge was because they strong-armed Big 12. That conference, to me, is a weak conference in terms of being able to stand up to Texas, whereas the Big 10 Network specifically, is a very strong entity that has... You know, we're talking the Great Lakes area, where the Rust Belt, a lot of the Northeast and some of the East Coast. So it's not like we're walking in like maybe the Big 12 would be going, hey, you're the only TV market we have because you're Texas. You know, we'll do whatever you ask. No, the Big 10's a bigger entity than that network and that, you know, that school, right?
Yeah, and one thing I think Texas would have a problem with is in the Big 10 – You learn this in a hurry, especially when you go to Big Ten Media Days. There's Michigan and there's Ohio State, and then there's everybody else, kind of. That's kind of the vibe. And even some of the other teams that have been in the league a long time seem to kind of accept that idea. Now, they all get the equal money, and it's not like the Big 12 where Michigan, Ohio State are calling all the shots. But there is kind of like they're the big brothers in the room type of feeling. And honestly, I think Nebraska's had to adjust to that and hasn't played well enough on the football field to change that perception at all. And that's, they're going to have to break through and win some conference championships to shift that way of thinking. But that would be an interesting dynamic, how Texas would adjust to a league that for a century has been built around those two schools. And I don't think people in the Rust Belt states would just be like, oh, my goodness, it's Texas, and bow down before them. And I think the power brokers at Texas kind of want that. So that might be something that gives them pause. I don't know.
I got to say, as a Nebraska fan, it'd be so fun to watch Texas get hazed for about 5 years like Nebraska has been.
Yes.
By the Big Ten. I don't know if Texas might negotiate their way out of that, but it'd be kind of fun to watch that happen. Let's shift over to the other news that there were some thoughts that the Big Ten could be looking at getting rid of, you know, divisions, and that it's just the Big Ten. Obviously, as Nebraska fans, we don't want that, right?
I don't think Nebraska wants that because I think right now it's set up well if Scott Frost can get this thing going where you have a winnable division, you still play your crossover game. They're going to play Michigan every year for when they shift from Ohio State. And then if you win your division, you're going to get a good game in the championship. So I think the schedule's fine as it is for Nebraska, and they'd probably prefer to not have to beat Ohio State and Michigan to get to the conference title game in their division. So I think it's favorable. I can kind of see why some people in the East think it's slanted a little bit right now. I don't think it's as slanted as some people think. And I think it all hinges on Nebraska. And if I were the Big Ten, and maybe this is homerism from living here, but I think I hold tight a year or two. And I see if Nebraska doesn't get this thing moving a little bit now. And if they do, that changes everything. Pretty all of a sudden, if Nebraska's a top 10 team, and Wisconsin can stay solid, and Iowa is what they are. I mean, that's a division that's pretty formidable. So I think they'd be wise to just kind of see what happens the next couple of years. Because if one school, the school that they brought in here to be good at football, can get it going again in the West, it changes the whole perspective of how we view those two sides.
I totally agree, and I'd also say that if they truly are, if those reports are true, that they're looking at bringing in Oklahoma, Texas, you have an opportunity at that moment to do what you said earlier, which is move Purdue over, and then all of a sudden you've got, if you think about it, you know, you've got Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. I left someone out over there. Did I leave someone out? I left someone out.
You got most of the
I think that's it. And then on the other side, you're looking at, like you said, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas. Like, are you kidding? Well, whatever's going on in the SEC, that's better. Like, that is better than whatever's going on down there.
Yep, you can't compete with that league. I mean, right now I think it's pretty even, but with the Big Ten SEC comparisons, honestly, because once you get beyond Alabama, Georgia, what do you got, right. really? But that tilts it in the Big Ten's favor, I think.
Okay, real quick before we get you out of here, buddy, and I appreciate the time on a Friday. It's always a lot of fun to chat with you. I look forward to it every week. Nebraska playing the Hoojays this weekend. I know you go to the Nebraska games. You got your seats. You're a fan. What do you think? Nebraska going to pull this off, or is Creighton going to come in here? And if they beat us, I'm telling you, BC, it's going to feel like the soul has been ripped out of this fan base this weekend.
Yeah, that's why I wonder. I would probably pick Nebraska, all things equal, but then there's that recent history, and the mental part of it is what I worry about with Nebraska tomorrow. It's hurt this team in this game in the past, and I could see it again where there's just all this weight on their shoulders to break through and finally do it. If they're a life or death pick, I guess I would man, it's a tough one. It's such a toss-up. I would probably pick Creighton in a close one based off just the history and because I wonder how Nebraska is going to deal with the heavy weight. But this team, the one thing I'll say about this team is even though they blew that game against Minnesota, they've got some guys like James Palmer who kind of have a swagger about them and a carefree attitude in these sort of games where they just go out there and hoop, and I could see that being to their benefit tomorrow. So they need to get off to a good start, get that crowd rolling, and make Creighton have to play from behind for a change. It always feels like Nebraska's trying to play catch-up in this game 5 minutes into it. Mm-hmm. They need to turn the tables there. But, yeah, it'll be a great environment. I said before the Illinois game, Nebraska had to win three of the next four, and they would be ahead of the curve resume-wise. Right. Well, they blew the game the other day, so they got to win these next two, and they're sitting okay, but they got to get these two.
You know, when Watson, it's one of my favorite things that Watson does. He's really done this a lot as a senior, where Watson hits a big shot that he knows was a big shot, and then he doesn't yell, he jogs back because he gets in position for defense now because he's a player, right? But he stares down the other guys and kind of has that, you know, like that tough chin, frowny thing going on. Schaefer said that's what you look like when you turn in a really, really good story at 24/7 Sports headquarters.
Yeah, that is. I do that. I puff out the chest a little bit. Yeah.
Kinda, take that.
Like, you know, you just wrote something that boom, mm-hmm. take that now. And then you get ready for the next one. I like
it. Yep. I'm just like Glenn Watson after a big shot or Red Panda after she lands a bull on her head. I just like have that look of like can't be stopped.
Yeah, like this is just natural, just God-given talent.
Me being me.
You're the man. I appreciate it, brother. We'll catch up again next week, all right?
All right, sounds good, guys.
BC.
BC. Good stuff, Brian Christopherson.
He brought the Red Panda.
Red Panda.
She's awesome.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Next hour, we got Dr. Dane Todd in. We're going to have a lot of fun with him. Coming up next, though, I'm curious what we're going to review because it's movie time. I see Matt Quintero out there. Every movie that came out this week was limited release and did not come to Nebraska.
Ooh. What's going to happen?
But the new Avengers movie trailer came out.
I know. I've seen nothing but people talking.
Oh, my God. I was so excited. I was so excited. We'll talk about that maybe, and we'll give you a chance to get registered and get in for our